For reasons that I won't go into now, as it would simply take too long, I take the traditional view that Moses wrote the Pentateuch. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that he probably wrote it sometime after Israel left Egypt, during their 40 years in the wilderness. However, I'm well aware that not only liberal scholars, but that some evangelical scholars argue that we don't actually know who wrote what we call the five books of Moses. Or at least we don't know who the redactor was who put the book into the form that we now regard as inspired canonical scripture. However, for the sake of argument, let's say that Moses did indeed write the Pentateuch, as my point still applies, even if you believe that it was assembled and put into the form we have now at some later date. And I should also add that most evangelical scholars believe that there was some written and oral sources around that Moses would have been aware of, but that what he personally wrote came via direct revelation that he received from the Lord. So while he might have been aware of various oral or written sources that may have been around, up to this point, he did not have an authoritative account of creation and the events that took place in the Garden of Eden. And a parallel example would be the accounts we have of events like the flood, for instance the Gilgamesh epic, that certainly contains some truth, but that also contains an equal amount of error. Now it's well known that the pharaohs of the Exodus era, whether we take an early or a late date for the Exodus, as you know, again scholars disagree on the exact date of the Exodus. But what we do know is that the pharaohs of that era all had a snake engraved into their crowns. And of course, this carries enormous importance, as it means that the first time Moses encounters the oppressive power of empire, and of course the demonic forces that lie behind it, is when he goes into the presence of Pharaoh on behalf of the people of Israel and sees it represented as a snake on the crown of the emperor. Then after what was an extensive power encounter with Pharaoh, all the plagues and so forth, the Exodus takes place. And at some point, as I say, in the wilderness or at Sinai, he gets authoritative revelation of the events of creation and the fall and records them in what we now call Genesis 1 to 3. And of course, when he did get such revelation, all the lights would go on as he would vividly remember that he had encountered a snake at the heart of the empire on the crown of the one on the throne when he was in the presence of Pharaoh. And it's by no means stretching things to assume that he would conclude that from the very beginning, from the garden itself, that there were two very different types of sovereignty at work. One, who embodied meekness and majesty and was at work in a good and pristine creation to encourage human flourishing and, of course, a development of that love relationship with humankind. And there was another type of sovereignty at work to bring destruction, violence, chaos, sin, and death, represented, of course, in the snake. And for us, reading the story later, much later, we must not miss the fact that simply because Genesis is placed before Exodus in our Bibles, that Moses had in fact encountered the snake in the crown of Pharaoh before he received the revelation of Eden. And the fact that there was a snake in the garden, as I say, representing this satanic spirit of empire from the very beginning. So it would seem that reading between the lines, we were meant to connect the dots and realize that although it might manifest itself in the garden, in Egypt, in Assyria, in Babylon, in Greece, and Rome, not to mention all the vicious empires that have come and gone since then, that Genesis is telling us that from the very beginning, the scheme of the enemy has been to infiltrate all that's good in creation, even in the garden itself, twist it, distort it, pollute it, until life on planet Earth becomes an ecosystem designed to dehumanize all that's good and exalt all that's demonic and leads to death. And then, of course, this is worked out all the way through Scripture and is climaxed by the cross, where the decisive blow against the forces of destruction took place through the hard dying of Jesus. And the affirmation of the church for which they lived and died was, in the words of Tom Wright, that Caesar now had a rival. It's now Jesu Kurios and not Caesar Kurios, who is the new Lord of the world. And our high calling and privilege is to link our lives with what the Spirit is doing through words, works, and wounds until the day that the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And so, while there might be some questions about the Pentateuch, I think that the, as I say, reading between the lines, the Lord is revealing to us that from the very beginning, the enemy, of course we know that the enemy was there, embodied as a snake. But what we learn from Exodus, of course, is that that snake represented an empire, a system that would be in opposition from the garden until this very day. And although the cross has taken place, we're in a mopping up operation, okay, until that day when, as I read, the kingdoms of this world will indeed become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and death, destruction, and the great serpent will be cast into the lake of fire.